Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for doing this with us this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit about the fear that that causes for the rest of the time. Now, just across Bosque from here, on the side of the shopping center facing Valley Mills, leans a little Arthur Murray dance studio. For a couple of months now, Monique and I have volunteered for dance lessons there. When asked why we wanted to dance, I replied, well, we grew up white and Baptist. Now, I could go on to say that we want to learn what it's like to enjoy our bodies, to pursue joy in movement with confidence, but saying white and Baptist usually communicates everything I need to. In our gospel passage today, Jesus wants to lock arms with Judas and dance with healing joy through Judas's broken heart. But will Judas let him? 6 days before the Passover, bracing for Palm Sunday, Jesus, Judas, and the disciples arrive at Bethany. It was here not too long ago that Jesus walked out to a tomb, called out Lazarus's name, and watched his friend retreat from death. This was the straw, John tells us, the straw that broke the back of the panicked leaders in attendance who cringed away to Jerusalem to start plotting Jesus' death. But today in Bethany, today is a time of joy. There is a dinner, a party, and Mary, Lazarus's sister, leans in. She snatches a pound of costly perfume. Judas braces himself, unsure of what is to come. Mary anoints Jesus' feet and wipes them with her hair. The perfume fills Judas's nostrils. He leans away. He imagines the Pharisees from across town seeing it, and he cringes. A woman uncovering her hair and using it to wash a man's feet? If it's not obscene, then it's at least unseemly. Sweat forms on his brow. He crosses his arms. He cannot see how this can turn out well. He speaks up, his voice pinched, quiet. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? He doesn't care about the poor, but he knows Jesus does. He grasps for something to persuade him, pleading with Jesus with his eyes, a year's wages is not worth spending on anointing someone's feet. Jesus looks at Judas. His eyes flash. Leave her alone, he says. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Jesus wants to dance through Judas's broken, fearful heart, but Judas refuses. He crosses his arms, and guess what? You can't dance with another person with your arms crossed. Stepping into the present, Jesus still wants to dance through our broken hearts, through our broken Judas hearts. Will we let him? Now, we cross our arms to protect ourselves, right? Our arms are armor. They give us something to shrink behind. We can shrivel up there, protected and safe, pretending confidence and control. But again, we can't dance with another person with our arms crossed. But most of the time, that doesn't matter to us. From behind our crossed balustrades, we can lob excuses. We can divide the two great commandments from one another, as Judas did, pitting love of neighbor against love of God. That might be driven by greed, as John surmises in Judas's case, or it might just be driven by simple dread. If I let Jesus dance through my broken heart, what will happen? Where will he lead me? Will he expect me to give up a year's wages in a single act of adoration? Or worse yet, perhaps, will I become the kind of person who wants to? I'm not actually sure I want to love what Jesus commands or desire what he promises. Now, justice is one thing. I can see its outlines. I can weigh its balances. But what about mercy? What about more? What more about love? No, thank you. I don't want to open my arms to Jesus. What will he do? Where will he lead? I can't take the uncertainty. I'll just cross my arms instead. But while stinginess and fear crosses our arms, Jesus still reaches out, inviting, waiting to dance his healing joy through broken hearts. On Maundy Thursday, we will remember that Judas does not leave the upper room until after Jesus washes his feet. Jesus keeps holding out his arms, inviting, waiting. But now, today in Bethany, we see that Jesus turns to Mary and they dance. John doesn't tell us why Mary snatches the perfume. He doesn't elucidate what urge drove her to this most extravagant and costly act of worship, but she hastens to it. She trusts Jesus to follow for a moment while she takes the lead. And he does. His healing joy dances with her through her broken heart. He gives thanks with her and for her. He accepts her willing gift as a gift preparing him for where he will go next, where his own dance with the Spirit is leading him, locked in together one step after another. Jesus dances with Mary through her broken heart. And he reaches out his arms to us too, inviting, waiting. At the dance studio, it took 4 private lessons before they thought we were ready to learn about being in frame. That's this. You've seen this, right? You see this on movies and shows of all kinds, one arm behind, one arm out. But what we didn't know is that this is not a light touch. It wasn't something they could communicate to us with words, because goodness knows they tried. No, the instructor had to put herself in frame with me so that I could feel what it was like. Then Monique joined me, and she put her shoulder against my hand, and she leaned back. Not enough, I said. She leaned back. More. She leaned even further back. More? There. And we were locked in. When we are in frame, we are so tightly connected that if I were to let go, she would stumble or fall. In fact, if we continue with lessons, I think I'm going to have to, like, do some exercises with my arm to get enough strength to hold the frame. When we are in frame, I can make wordless suggestions that she can accept or reject, but it doesn't change the closeness of the connection. I may be leading, but dancing partners to people, each active, each responsible, each making the dance. In our collect for today, we asked for the grace to love what God commands and desire what God promises, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. In other words, we ask this morning to be in frame with God. The Lord's joy dances with us through our broken hearts. Healing joy dances through us with love. It opens us up to join Jesus in his healing work, his healing dance in the world, dancing with him, pursuing justice, animating mercy, urging love. And the dance will take us places we would never have chosen for ourselves. It will take us through our dread. It will take us through our pain. It will take us even to suffering, as Paul wrote, so that we might know the surpassing value of knowing Christ, of attaining the resurrection from the dead. It will take us this dance, starting this next Sunday, Palm Sunday, to the very heart of the mystery of our faith. The mystery of a God who dances with joy all the way to Jerusalem, all the way through turning over tables, all the way through betrayal and torture and death, all the way to hell and back, all the way to Easter morning, all the way to us. Over this next week, I invite us to ask, are we in frame with God? Are we listening? Are we so connected that we can feel the subtle movements of our Lord's joy in our hearts? Then, having asked, I invite you to Palm Sunday next week, where we will open our broken hearts once again. Once again to Jesus' joy, a love that reaches out, inviting, waiting to dance with each one of us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.